joined in the studio by Dr. Debbie Stroman, the host of Cover 2 right here on WCHL. Also a star athlete in her own right, longtime sports commentator, generally knowledgeable person about all things athletics. And it's a good thing because you're here to sort out this whole deal with the NBA and Daryl Morey and China and business and politics and now LeBron James as well, because why not? How are you?
I'm doing well. I'll tell you, I don't think we could do justice to this topic, but we're going to try.
Okay.
So as most people know, last weekend, Daryl Morey, the Houston Rockets general manager, sent out a tweet, an innocent tweet. It's amazing the things that change in our world now, all due to a tweet. But he basically was supporting democracy and freedom in Hong Kong. And the tweet said, "Fight for freedom, stand with Hong Kong." And the rest is history.
And that was it, right?
And
that was literally it, yeah.
And because of the backdrop, everything from Sino-American relations, how we are trying to have a relationship with China when they're communist and we're, I'll say, democracy, capitalism. Mm. And we have this unwritten rule in terms of how we do business with them, as in just make sure that you take care of your shareholders, as what David Stern said, the former commissioner of the NBA said, I'm just going to wink, wink, or I won't keep my eyes open. The focus is make money for your shareholders and don't be bothered with their political economic system. Well, fast forward, the tweet happens. China is having major, major problems from optics and just, you know, the economic political system with Hong Kong.
Mm-hmm.
And so here we are here in America. And it's interesting that it happened with the NBA because that's supposed to be the most progressive and liberal free thought type sport league.
And we've seen them be progressive. Like they stepped up in the HB2 fight and
that's
really took
right.
a stand and stuck with it.
Yes.
So, yeah.
And so it's good that it happened to them, but they realize that China is a multi-billion dollar revenue source for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so Adam Silver, the commissioner, came out with an initial response. That did not go well because it looked like the NBA was all about the revenues and the profits.
Mm-hmm.
So then he had to not retract, but then he came out with another statement. But during that time period, of that short time period between Silver responding, China went crazy, in the sense that they were shutting down the broadcast of games, cutting contracts, license, all this stuff, which is affecting the league.
Yeah. And this is a power play, pure and simple, and it's all about money on both sides, really. And it's really fascinating because I don't think China needs the NBA, and I don't think the NBA needs China either. So it really is about additional money on top of the money that we need to operate. Like, how much do we really want to line our pocketbooks here?
Well stated. Just to give a little backdrop for people who are not familiar, so James Naismith and the YMCA missionaries started the game, and the YMCA missionaries went over to China in the end of the 1800s,
mm-hmm.
and got basketball going, in the sense that, you know, the country is trying to figure out who they wanted to be. And they, I guess you could say, use propaganda to say they have a strong country, needs strong bodies. And so basketball was introduced. And the country fell in love with it. And then when Mao took over in 1949, he said, let's keep it going. In fact, the generals played the game. When Mao died, it
the Globetrotters
continued.
Were better than the generals.
Absolutely. But when he died, this was the opening up to the world.
Mm-hmm.
Now the Chinese people could see how it was played, in particular in the United States, and they fell in love with it. You've got the Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, then you've got Michael Jordan, and he can fly, and then the Nike brand. And so it turned into this multi-billion dollar opportunity, and David Stern took it to the next level. He realized that we could commercialize this. And so now you have a country that, over 300 million play basketball, over millions upon millions of viewers through streaming. NBA set up a subsidiary over there, which I happened to visit when I was in Hong Kong as well. And for them to just strip it and say, we're going to think about how we're going to do business, think about all the individuals and businesses connected to the NBA who've said in their budgets, forecasting, that we're going to make money off China, and now it's just slowly being rethought or it's gone.
Yeah. You were in Hong Kong. What was that experience?
So I was there as a guest of the NBA for the first NBA World Africa game. And through those relationships, I ended up meeting folks over in who worked in China. Mm. And so
when was this?
Gosh, this was 4 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. But visiting Hong Kong with a friend, and I had the opportunity to leverage those relationships to go to the NBA office and had a nice tour and everything. It was very, very cool. But I'll tell you, this is just on fire. It hasn't stopped. LeBron now speaking up. I think most Americans say that LeBron's brand is so strong with social justice. It'll be it's definitely a dent, but it's not going anywhere. He's that powerful. And then others will say it's an example where athletes need to just be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't touch this at all.
Right.
Yeah, but LeBron stepped in basically saying that Daryl Morey was uneducated. Not uneducated about Hong Kong and China, mm-hmm. but uneducated about the ramifications of NBA teams getting ready to go play, and then you do a tweet like that.
Yeah.
So you've got back and forth around LeBron.
Do you think he's right on that? Because that surprised me when he stepped into the conversation to say that people should be speaking out less, because that's the opposite of what I've ever heard from him in the past.
Well, this is the businessman side of LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
I think there is no doubt, you know, he is of the community, supports the community financially, I mean, so many way, and some people have called him our modern-day Muhammad Ali. Now there's lots of retractions that LeBron cannot be that now. But when you think about his contract with Nike, it's not public, but it's stated that he can make up to $1 billion in China. And so it's so much bigger than sport, but it's good that it's sport that's opening this up.
Yeah.
And my point is, as opposed to looking at a LeBron James or whom, how about our government leaders? How about our multinational corporations that are doing business with China and we're doing all this wink, wink?
Mm-hmm.
Do we need to say, we just turn the other, you know, we look the other way and forget about Hong Kong and democracy and freedom? Or do we try and figure out a way that we can continue to do this friendship type thing and yet see these human rights violations, see the lack of the privacy, the state control? I mean, who is America?
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we have this boogeyman idea about socialism, which oftentimes is just equated to communism, where we have socialistic practices throughout our country.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some people will say, oh, that's just capitalism doing, you know, what they call it, public good. But I think there's this fear that, you know, China and what they're doing, it could take over our country, and so we don't need to have any type of affiliation. But yet, we're in bed with China. So, I don't know.
Yeah. Speaking with Dr. Debbie Stroman, and this is, I mean, okay, so this is difficult for 1,000 reasons, right? But I think one of them, as you mentioned, do we say China's human rights practices are atrocious, we're going to withdraw altogether, or do we pursue the friendship and turn the other cheek? There's that third way, which may or may not be successful, of maintaining the relationship with the idea of using that relationship to then put pressure on China to change human rights practices, which works sometimes and doesn't work other times. And there are other occasions where withdrawing the relationship and putting pressure on that way is successful. South Africa being an example of that, where the entire world just shut the door and said, we're not going to deal with you until apartheid ends. What's effective? And it's a different... Montaigne wrote this essay, and it's the first one where it's like, well, if you do this, it works here, and if you do the same thing over here, it fails, but if you do this, it works over here, and if you do the same thing over here, it fails, and you can't really tell what's right and what's wrong until after the fact.
Well, I'll go ahead and go out on a limb. I think I'm safe with the WCHL listening audience, but I think we'd have a better shot if we didn't have a certain person in the White House.
You are probably safe with WCHL listeners, yeah.
You know, with the trade wars and this back and forth and this inconsistent, if you can call it that, foreign policy, we might be able to do some of the things we've done before. But when you have someone that you're not sure and whether or not they're going to buy in and they're going to support you. Now, it's interesting what the NBA is going through is because you've got bipartisan red, blue, mm-hmm. Republican, Democrat, you know, on both sides, on all sides, on all of this.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people are saying it's free market, you know, freedom rings, you know, get rid of this communism, go for it, support the tweet. And then others are saying this is a disgrace. In fact, I was looking at some research around how most young people don't even believe that our capitalistic system is going to last. Mm-hmm. And so they're not participating in things that would, you know, lend itself to free market, you know, private investment accounts and all of that.
And then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, right?
Well, that too. But people are feeling that our system is not working. And so, you know, it's okay to go with, you know, be okay with socialistic type practices in our country. So it's all over the place. But all I know is the NBA is going to continue to make billions of dollars. They'll figure this out because I think the going back to the late 1800s, Chinese people want the NBA. Mm-hmm. In fact, David Stern was sending 8-track tapes, videos, highlights of the NBA when he first started this globalization. So they're used to these stars. They watch the games while they're on their way to work on their phones. And of course, the NBA players and partners, they want to make money. So I think the bigger issue is what is China going to do with Hong Kong?
Yeah. That ultimately is the issue, right? Like, all of this is a distraction from that larger, more fundamental question. Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking with Dr. Debbie Stroman, we've got to wrap up, but one more question, and this is something that we've talked about too. When should public figures speak? We've talked about this, like, all of the shut up and dribble is ridiculous, but as a public figure, you also have a responsibility. What you say matters. People listen to you. So there is a degree of responsibility to only speak when you have a clear knowledge about what's going on. I don't think what Daryl Morey said was in any way unacceptable. But what is that balance that athletes or public figures should strike?
As an American, you have free speech rights.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that whenever you can use your platform for good, to inform, to promote love, go for it. Now, should you be an expert? I don't think you have to be.
Mm-hmm.
If it means that it's going to call someone to get up off their tuff and think about it, do some research, challenge your position, or double down on your position, that's a good thing. We need more critical thinking in this country. Mm-hmm. And so if you have some entertainer or sports figure or somebody who's saying something that you don't agree with, don't tell them to shut up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's that quote? Promote what you love and don't bash, you know, what you hate.
Mm-hmm.
So you go get your microphone or you go write your blog or you talk to your friends and loved ones and say, you know, let's talk more about this. I disagree with that person what that person said, but I'm not for shutting down free speech.
Listen to Cover 2 on WCHL weekday nights during the 7 o'clock hour and on the weekends as well. Full archive at chapelburra.com. Debbie Stroman, thank you so much.
Thank you.